Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay, we're on to 16 on the agenda. Resolution 24-372, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the May 23rd. Well, doesn't sound right.
30.
Threes, right? Let's get rid of the two and put a zero after three.
Yeah, the meeting was on May 23rd.
Yeah, the minutes actually say so on their face.
It just needs change on the
agenda.
This is for the council. This is not for recreation. We're on to 14. These are for council meetings.
Oh,
sorry. We jumble things up just to confuse people, so including me. I apologize.
Resolution 24-372, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the May 30th, 2024 meeting of the Township. No, that's the recreation. That's
yeah, that is right. So the 23rd was right.
Yeah, but we shouldn't be to that one yet.
We already did the minutes for the.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I thought so too.
Yeah, we did before.
I am mistaken. May 23rd, 2024 meeting of the Township McKellar Recreation Committee meeting. Discussion of those minutes. Councilor Kekkonen.
So there's a request for outdoor yoga at the community center grounds on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So when does that start?
That doesn't say on here. I believe it was. Well, has she been in contact with the office for a starting date?
Not yet. Saturdays.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's Saturday, first Saturday of the summer, so I would almost think, is that June 30th?
No, 29th.
June 29th?
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
And so they last for probably an hour?
That's the usual
okay.
yoga class.
And that's just outside the kitchen area, or where exactly in the yard, do you know?
No, I don't know exactly. Where, but I sort of thought it was going to be maybe up from the beach or something.
Oh, okay. I know there was confusion about the time, whether it was going to be 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 o'clock. I guess they've straightened that out. So. Mm-hmm. Anything else in the minutes?
And then the arm wrestling. This activity continues to be held in the youth room. What day and time is that?
The arm wrestling is, I think it's two evenings a week.
Mondays and Wednesdays?
Yeah, that's right. The same as what badminton was.
Councilor Ryan?
The community get together this Saturday coming. Morley, is there a rain plan if it's raining? Which the forecast looks awful, but.
No, there's not a rain plan presently. A lot of events we've ever done, if it gets rained out, we don't reschedule because you have so many volunteers.
Yeah.
Some half of them you say, well, no, I'm busy that day, and then to advertise so quickly. So a lot of times, no, it's you give it your best shot. Same with even the fair here. I believe it's just you give her that day, and so at this point, no, there's no backup plan. I would almost recommend against it. But we'll see.
Yeah, I hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we know? I guess there'll be no plans, I suppose, for the playground equipment, whether anything. I mean, we can't have a wish list, I guess, that's unlimited. Is there anything you're going to be presenting? And I don't know whether Carly's been.
Yeah, it's more just to determine the age groups of the children currently residing in Broadbent and the number, and then that way we can better determine what playground equipment would best suit that area. We did ask if anyone had opinions as to what they want, but we're mostly looking at age demographics for that area.
I'm just wondering if people sometimes, you know, like the graphic or whatever, the options available and that sort of thing, or the costs, and rather than just an open wish list there like we had with the pool, for instance, and that got a little out of hand, so. But you weren't thinking of anything in particular then, similar to what we have already in different locations?
I would almost think it's, if I was, with our budget, you know, it's fairly limited.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so it's.
Okay. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-373, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Pekkanen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Color does hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run report for May 2024 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Discussion? Resolution 24-374, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Municipality of Whitestone Resolution 2024-214, wherein the request to evenly split property taxes of the McKellar Dunchurch United Church Pastoral Charge Manse was defeated for information purposes. Discussion?
No surprise.
No. Situation normal. It's just a question, I guess, and that was sent to the treasurer, I think, of the charge as well. And I noticed in the minutes that Janice Bray, who was a member of that church too, she declared a conflict. So it was the four people left to vote. I didn't see a recorded vote in any way. So it doesn't look like they want to pay their share. This has happened year after year after year. So the other option, of course, is whether council is agreeable to continue the way it is or to have the taxes sent to the United Church Pastoral Charge. It's been forgiven for forever. Mm. And Whitestone has been approached in the past a number of times, and they've refused each time. So there's been no repercussions. Council is still writing off the taxes here, so you have to decide as a council whether you want to continue to do that or whether you want to see if there's some way of resolving the issue.
Unfortunately, I think it would blow up in our faces regardless of the fact that it's a very unequal treatment, but I don't think the public in general would perceive it that way anyhow, but I'd like to do something to give them a little nudge, them being Whitestone, but I'm uncomfortable with you know, basically throwing the church under the bus in this situation anyhow, so I don't know of any other way that we could give them a nice nudge, but anyhow.
No, I don't know either, unless it's interesting, because for the nursing station, I think the township divvied up, that would come up with a certain, I think it was $30,000.
Yeah.
It was substantial. And but anyway, I guess it'll all come out of the wash down the road if there are future exchanges or requests from different areas.
Maybe it already did, because we agreed to 1 year $30,000 instead of someone who said it was 2 years of $30,000.
Yeah, maybe that's what they got in mind. Yeah.
would a call from our mayor to their mayor make any difference, do you think?
No, probably not.
No?
No. No, it's a council decision. So.
Yeah.
This is receiving for information.
Yeah.
So, all the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
What would happen if we didn't receive it?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Still gonna get our money.
We could
right?
defeat it, but it would feel a little bit better. I don't know. It's a silly question. Please ignore it. So
maybe refuse their decision.
Now, since we're moving the agenda around, we've gone to 20.2.
Yeah.
Resolution 24-375, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive resolution number 24-18 from the Township of McKellar Historical Committee, requesting a handrail be installed to the front door of St. Stephen's Church and consider a future installation of an accessible ramp to the back door, and further direct staff to obtain 3 quotations for the work and present to Council at a future meeting. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
So the committee members did have a chance to go and take a look at what was required and agreed for the handrail at the front and accessible ramp at the back. But the handrail at the front needs an additional pull handle right at the top so that when you get to the last step, you can actually, some of the members required to be able to pull themselves just that last step. So if that's incorporated into the design.
Would installing a handrail in any way interfere with getting equipment in there to take out the chimney? I mean, I don't mean permanently, but temporarily even, no?
It's done. It's done.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it probably would have gone through that side door
possibly
to get it in there.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Okay.
Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 20.3, resolution 24-376, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft letter dated June 18, 2024, in support of the North Bay and Area Rural Community Immigration Pilot Expression of Interest Application, RCIP, submitted by North Bay and District Chamber of Commerce, and further direct staff to sign and submit the letter to the North Bay and District Chamber of Commerce to include with their application to Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada. Discussion? Excellent letter, by the way.
I didn't
put
it
together. I thought your name was out there. Okay, no further discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 20.5, resolution 24-377, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas the Association of Ontario Municipalities, AMO, plays a critical role in representing the interests of Ontario municipalities, and whereas the position of Director, Rural Caucus with AMO provides a vital voice for rural municipalities, ensuring their unique challenges and perspectives are addressed, and whereas Roshan Cantilla, Treasurer of the Township of McKellar, has demonstrated exceptional dedication and service to the township and possesses the skills, experience, and commitment required for the position of Director, Rural Caucus. And whereas the Township Council believes that Mr. Cantilla's participation on the AMO board would greatly benefit both our township and other rural municipalities across Ontario, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the nomination of Roshan Cantilla for the position of Director, Rural Caucus, of the Association of Ontario Municipalities, and further that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Association of Ontario Municipalities in support of Mr. Cantilla's nomination. Discussion? Did he write that one?
No.
I said that.
Nice.
But he has been asked about this, and so he's agreeable.
He's put his interest forward, and one of the requirements for the submission is to have a resolution from council stating their support for the nomination. So this is where that's coming from.
Okay.
Excellent. He'll still have time to do the account of treasury. Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question. All to bylaws, we have 21.1. Resolution 24-378, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-49, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12 as amended, with respect to lands legally described as parcel 15399, section SS, part lot A, concession 8, McKellar, part 11, PSR 1475. That's in brackets 195 Manitou Drive, and parcel 16022, section SS, part lot A, concession 8, McKellar, part 10, PSR 1475, and in parentheses 193 Manitou Drive, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of June 2024. Discussion? Now, I think there have been some comments back and forth on that, and maybe Carly can speak to the one we have in our package is not necessarily the final version, or has anything been changed?
So the bylaw in the package, it's recommending that it be added. So for the, under section 1C, the minimum required interior side yard shall be 3.5 meters for accessory structures only. So those three words added at the end. And then similar again to the next paragraph, D and E. So at the end of those, for accessory structures only, just so that it's clear that it's for the accessory structures and not for the primary residence.
So sorry, that was C, D, and E?
So first section C.
C?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the... And then C again, sorry, D and E, yes.
Okay.
So just anywhere where it's referencing
the
side yard.
Okay.
And the schedule A, that's been changed from waterfront development 2 to waterfront residential 2. I believe that's on the new one,
yes,
too.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And the other change we noticed was 1.3. First part, it'd be for 193. The minimum required, this is D section, the minimum required road frontage should be 18 meters rather than the required 20. That was discussed at our previous meeting as well. And I think a lot of the concerns were to legalize what is there, and if this is the route we're going with the lot addition to 195, then make it all legal. What actually exists. I had a concern, I guess, with the, and I don't know whether it was ever clarified with her planner, because she was consulted on this too. Did she ever get back to you?
No, she hadn't. I'm going to check again.
Because the one concern, I guess, in our schedule B, which we've gone back to now because we're working with 95-12 as amended, is that, and this has been pointed out by Mr. Davidson as well, and he'll speak to it, I'm sure. Has any concerns different from mine here. The accessory buildings, and there was that clarification that was required. I don't know whether this does it or not, but clarification required, because I think for the main building it talked about 5 meters being the setback, and then for the accessory building on the far right of Schedule B, it's a little confusing the way it's set up. It looks like 3 meters. And I just needed clarification on what is expected there. It looks as if this would meet the setbacks, and maybe not even require an exception. But I don't know whether Mr. Davidson's still online too. Whether he has any particular comments.
I'm still online and listening. It's cutting in. Really, it's up to council to decide what to do with respect to this matter, but. The bylaw wasn't clear to me whether or not the interior side yard setbacks were only applicable to the existing buildings, because there's a provision, I think it was added, say any future buildings would be subject to the provisions of bylaw 95-12, which are different. That was one matter. can't remember all of them, I put in this room down there. But given that also there are changes to the bylaw, you also have to pass a resolution determining that no further notice is required. And that's section 34.17 of the bylaw, or about the Planning Act, I think. Currently, you would know.
I did get a response from Rebecca, so she's agreeable to those statements to say the setbacks only apply to the accessory structures. She said in the future, if the properties are redeveloped, any main buildings would have to be compliant with the requirements of the WF2 zone and not the special exemption based on the wording of the bylaw. So if that clears.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out as well. Maybe your beard.
With regards to the notice, we'll be, if the bylaw is passed tonight, we'll be passing a, I'll be putting out the notice of passing tomorrow.
No, I know that, but before you pass the bylaw, you have to pass a resolution. Because you've changed the bylaw from the original, you'll have to pass a resolution first before you adopt the bylaw, saying no further notice is required.
I was not made aware of that by our planner, and they had suggested that the changes to the bylaw were all discussed in the public meeting and not major in nature, so they did not see the need for council to pass any further resolutions.
Well, they're wrong, but, I mean, okay. The changes to the bylaw were not in the original notice.
Yes, as I read the section in the Planning Act, it's left to the final decision whether further notice had to be provided by council. But as you say, a statement to that effect that there would be no further notice, I don't see why that. I don't see why that would be out of line.
You should do it. I mean, because you don't want to come back to you that you didn't do it.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I mean. The final determinations of the council, decision is not appealed. So it's just belts and suspenders.
Yes, so we should follow the procedure here. That's good. Yeah.
You've done it in previous situations, Mr. Mayor, council. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll leave it to you because the you haven't told the hours are starting to play.
Oh, okay. Good luck.
Take care.
Thank you.
Staff to not provide further notice? Oh, right.
No further notice is required.
Right, that's our. Should we make that decision?
Yeah, right one.
I just put as it is not required at the end of that.
Oh, okay. That doesn't look like you made a change, but you did mention it.
Thank you.
24-378. Just forget the previous one I said. Moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to not provide further notice for the zoning bylaw amendment, bylaw number 2024-49, for subject properties 193 and 195 Manitou Drive, as it is not required. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Yeah, just leave out the legal if you want. Just reference the civic addresses. If you want to read it, you can.
Oh, sure. Well, not going to want to, but I better. We got resolution 24-379, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, hereby is bylaw number 2024-49, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 95-12, that's amended, with respect to lands legally described as parcel 15399, section SS, part lot A, concession 8, McKellar part 11, PSR 1475, parentheses 195 Manitou Drive, and parcel 16022, section SS, part lot A, concession 8, McKellar part 10, PSR 1475, parentheses 193 Manitou Drive, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of June 2024. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
I could have said, could you read that again?
Yeah, he could have.
Not sure what kind of response I would have got. But
hopefully you would have been told.
I'll email you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. May I ask a question? What site buildings were being referred to? There was a question about accessory buildings?
It was just clarifying that the setbacks are for accessory buildings only and not the main dwelling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure what I mean. Thank you. I'm an accountant, not a planner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Resolution 24-380, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckin, and be resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-53. Being a bylaw to authorize an agreement with RHH Engineering for road studies, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of June 2024. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-381, moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-54, being a bylaw to authorize an agreement with RHH Engineering to prepare a tender for the reconstruction of Herdville Road, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this 18th day of June 2024. Discussion? Councilor Ryland.
If I had a financial statement from the township, would I be able to identify the total of similar charges that are similar fees? It would be a better way of saying it, that we've paid out this year to, well, to any individual contractor. Is that possible? I did mean to ask Roshan this earlier, and I regret that I forgot. But I mean, if I looked even like at a GL level for professional services or things like that, is there a way to know how much money has been spent?
Sure.
I wouldn't say to a specific vendor because it's broken down by project.
But I mean, depending on, you know, what number you found, I mean, and you know, what level of detail that we wanted to back it up, and I'm sure that we have it. I'm not saying
that.
I'm trying
to get those numbers for you.
Okay, because I think that would be helpful to me because it seems like there's a revolving drum here. That's all. But
wow, a lot of projects.
Yeah.
To be done. I guess what we're looking at is we're following our procurement bylaw,
yeah,
which permits us to take what we feel is a professional who's going to have to review much of this material anyway as an
right.
engineer.
Right.
And some of them in the past weren't reviewed by engineers as such, so we thought
yeah.
At the ground level, why not bring the engineer in rather than just having to come in later and suddenly reject, perhaps,
yeah.
or question what's been done.
Right.
Then you're into more money. So if his plan is there, and I guess
guess all we could do, if you're interested, is compare his fees to other fees. We've done that with solicitors.
Hmm.
And after we picked ourselves up off the floor, because of the fees and the charges, we have to see if he's comparable. And his hourly rate, by the way, is quite comparable when you start comparing, but you're in another profession.
Sure.
Engineer to a solicitor. I don't think they're out of line necessarily. All you can do, I guess, is compare it to other engineers who've done studies for us.
Or even look at year over year and that type of thing.
Yep.
I'm just looking for more of a big picture. I mean, as I think about it, I mean, perhaps my issue isn't so much, certainly not this bylaw, but more that I don't feel comfortable with the lack of financial reporting that we're getting. In other words,
right.
Personally, my view would be that given my druthers, I would like to see a monthly report given to us, but I mean, at a minimum, a quarterly report. And given that we're already two quarters into the year, and I don't think we've seen that. We've certainly spent lots of time on the budget, but not on the, you know, financial update. Where are we with this type
of thing? No, that's fair enough. And I think one of the problems has been that he was, in a sense, okayed through discussion to do these projects.
Yeah.
He's already started to do
yeah.
them, but there was no agreement.
Yeah.
Such that you know, he would be paid to do those studies. And so we're a little behind, I think, in catching up there, and that's why it seems to be all at once. But
I'm not trying to be critical of anybody on any of these things. I'm just trying to see
you know,
what's the big picture. If I got stopped on the street and said, well, how much are we spending? And I have no idea. But that really isn't an issue of this bylaw or even the sum of the bylaws. It's that we don't get financial reporting on a timely enough basis to understand, you know, what does it mean? Right, and I suspect it's
and I think we could ask for that more too, and see if he'll provide that to us, because a lot of times it's by project. He hasn't broken it down by he has in his own mind how many hours it would take him from past experience, but you're right, as far as council aware of what he's doing, I agree, the breakdown would be excellent, and maybe he'll do that for us. He should.
Well, I'm sure that it's probably even a lot of work, but I mean, I think like anything, it would be the first time, maybe the second time, but once you got in the habit of just doing it, it's just churning it out again, right? I mean, he's got online GLs and things like that. He should be able to give us an update.
Yeah.
One of my frustrations is the way that our budgets are structured and everything else, too, by breaking it down by, many cases, roads and other smaller fractions. It's impossible to get a big picture of how much are we spending in it. And here at a very macro level, how much are we spending on professional services, including lawyers, including engineers, or any other professionals that we're hiring? And I think it's probably a large number, maybe even a very large number.
No doubt. You have to look at the end product. Are you getting your money's worth?
Yeah, I agree. And again, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to just make sure that we're doing our job in representing ratepayers, or, you know, are we watching the money?
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, I would say, looking at the percentage increase and compared to surrounding townships and where we're sitting, I mean, you'll have to take comfort in that, whether you feel you're doing a good job or not for them. But, when I look at, you know, as I say, you look at the end product and what you come up with, and been slow to get things started this year because of various reasons. And I think when everything falls into place, that you know, people should be happy. It'll be up to them to decide, of course, whether they're happy with the results. But no, I agree with the financial update. I think that's excellent. He may be able to do that for us. I'm not sure we've got that from all the people. When we do an asset management plan, for instance, and turn it out to a company, we get the bill at the end.
Yeah.
You don't have it broken down by how much I've done here. Same with the roads needs study. I don't think that was broken down. I think that was just, this is our price.
I've never seen anything really definitive on that, other than I've been told numbers, but I've never seen anything. So.
Yeah. But that seems to be the way they offer it. Councilor Pickering?
Just wondering the way the bylaw is written regarding the completion date. So are we expecting it to be done? It says here, for construction to be completed by spring of 2025, so
the tender will be written so that that's the last day that it needs to be completed, but there's nothing to say that a contractor couldn't start the work this fall. We're just giving them a bit more leeway for scheduling, and also too, if we're first on the books for spring 2025, then we could potentially be receiving a better price for the work.
Yeah, I would take it they would mean like the last day of spring, I guess is what they mean by that.
They were,
June something.
Yeah, we're leaving it up to Bob to decide what that date would be. April 15th has been thrown around, so it'd be early in the spring.
For construction to be completed?
Right, because they could start some prep work this year and then the leave the paving till the first thing in the spring. But again, he's going to be the expert as to determine when the date would be, and then contractors can bid accordingly.
Right.
Like, I think one thing you might run into, we often did that too with purchases of large vehicles, expensive vehicles, and you do it over 2 years. But the trouble is, of course, well, first of all, getting a contractor this fall, this late in the season, that might make me proud, so that's probably why it's written in there. But also the fact that we're going to start piggybacking probably too, because we'll have projects for next year, and this one's still beyond the books. So
yeah,
that's something we'll have to deal with come spring.
Yeah, it should be interesting because, whether who does all the prep work. In this case, I think we may be subbing that out possibly, but now how much time our road crew, would they start, could they prep more of the Herdville Road,
mm-hmm.
And then the asphalting company do even more because we'll be dealing with next year's budget,
right? Yeah,
kind of thing. So, there's going to be some planning and pushing.
Well, I think it's the wording that for construction to be completed by spring of 2025. So, is that open ended enough? When it's basically saying the construction be completed by spring of 2025,
Well, I'm afraid if you put it any sooner, I'm a little worried that they might not be able to meet those deadlines either. We may not even get it done. If we put it in this fall. I know that's the idea, and I think that's what we're aiming for, but if it doesn't happen, that gives a bit of a leeway there for contractors to actually take on the job knowing that they can do it. And they might, if you read some of these contractors, they're booked a couple years ahead, so it's difficult to get them for this fall, perhaps. But I think that's the intent, and as Carly said, I think that's what Bob is aiming for, but it leaves a bit of leeway there so we don't go back and lose any contractor because they can't meet the deadline. We ran into that with the asset management plan. They said they couldn't do it at a certain time, so a lot of them didn't even bid on it. So. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Finished business, anything from that list? Councilor Ryan?
Can I add a couple things? I had a conversation with Roshan because it was in the check run report about real tax, and I asked him if we'd had any. If you recall, we had assigned three accounts to him. He told me while we were sitting here that he had collected maybe the largest one, $18,800. So that turned out to be good. I said, are you considering that we should do the same with more accounts? From memory, we have something in the range of 50 accounts. I mean, that's ballpark anyhow. And I know some of them are quite small, but
right.
Nevertheless, it seems to me that we should work down the list in order of the value that's owed and certainly being well past due, and those ones were. It just seems to me I'd like to... what I asked Roshan while I was sitting here is, could you give us a report? So my question for you is first of all, this is a follow-up item, even if it wasn't on the list. If we could add it to the list, then that would jog us, hopefully, to make sure that we get a written report on it. I mean, similar to... I like the report that the fire chief gave us tonight. That was great, just to get a picture of things and not belabor the point, but just give us that. And again, if it's worth doing, could we collect more of those? I mean, that's money literally in the bank for us. So, and the second thing, the other two things are what we just finished discussing. Could we put fire routes 152, et cetera? I know they're not named that anymore. And Herdville Road on the list, given that we have Deerfield there too. At least just as a point of saying, are we making progress, right? Or what's the status of the progress? And again, I do see progress. It's just it would be more comfortable to me to have it on the list of items that we've discussed and moving forward on. So, and I think true for members of the public, too, who probably read this because it's easily understandable and everything else, give them a sense of what's going on. So,
yeah, I think that's good.
Okay.
And it is a shorter list, so now you're lengthening it again. That's good.
Well, I'd like to say that we could take things off. I think we do, but I mean, it's
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know. Sometimes I feel uncomfortable. Things kind of go into a black hole for a while before we start following them up. But.
Councilor Zulak?
Did we not take the volunteer waiver off?
I think that's pretty well done. It was going nowhere. It was just going in circles. So. Could probably get rid of that, yeah.
Is that your view, Carly? Does it mean that it's really a
dead
end?
I wasn't really involved in it,
yeah.
But yeah, I believe at this time we can take it off.
That's certainly my gut from the last discussions that we had on it. So, I mean, I would have no objection to removing it. But.
Yeah, some of the proposed wording, and it was almost scary to any volunteer actually signing it. Like, basically, you're taking on all the responsibility and kind of thing. Like, just a scary form.
It's a legalese for you.
And then the last one on the list, change of civic address number for 292 McKellar Ferguson Bowery Road. So it says here, solicitor providing legal opinion.
Correct.
So it's there's something coming back soon at some point?
Yes, I contacted the solicitor a couple of weeks ago, well, after that meeting. I haven't received anything yet, but we did have an email exchange and a phone call.
Okay. And they will be providing a report at some point?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I'm sure this, for you in particular, is a major nuisance to do this, but I think it's valuable to make sure we follow up on things.
Yeah.
And, us too, not just you. So, right. But the real tax, I think there's a real opportunity
really
there to collect some revenue, and that can help pay for many things, including roads. But
okay, on to new business. We've already done 23.2, so 23.1, the rabies vaccination clinic, resolution 24-382. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Trekkinen. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does approve the use of the outdoor pavilion / arena to hold a rabies vaccination clinic on Wednesday, July 31st from 4 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. as supplies last for $35 per vaccination, cash only. Discussion? Councilor Zulak, you want to speak to it or something?
Yeah, so I had tried before to have this rabies clinic and with no success. But then, of lately, the veterinarian, Norma DeRose, who always did our rabies clinics for us, she had reached out to me and told me that she had got talked into doing a clinic in Powassan, and she had 100 vaccines left over, and she was wondering if we would still be interested in doing one. So I asked her if she had certificates, and she said yes, and she can get the tags. And it will be $35 per pet, cat or dog. And like I said, it's a limited supply. And then I reached out to the market manager, Jan Gibson, and she drew up this pamphlet for me. So if it's okay with council, she will post it on a lot of the sites, the MLCA and her Facebook and different Facebook sites, and we'll be good to go.
It's a great idea.
Now you've got crowd control for the 101st person that comes in or something.
Yes.
Might have a vicious dog.
Well.
Yes. So I guess that's about it. Oh, and I also spoke with Tom to make sure that it wouldn't interfere with the construction that they're doing over there, and he said that he believed they would be done by then. And then the time works out okay because they're done at 4. So this is from 4 to 6:30. So if that works out, then I'll inform the vet tomorrow morning, and I'll call Jan and tell her that everything's good, and we'll go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a good program. They always had there's always been a good turnout in the past.
Yeah. So we'll see, because it's been about 3 or 4 years since we've had that.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
Ask them to go there. kind of covered, I think, through the agendas.
Okay.
No, I was just, only thing I was going to suggest, I didn't mean we're in kind of the St. Stephen's ramp. If it's, there's troubles getting a quotations on that, there's a possibility if Chris, our building inspector, want to drop what he is going to require, that maybe we could find a volunteer to build it. It's not going to be a very big ramp. Like it's,
no.
No.
Sorry. It's shallow back there, and it's just to get
yeah.
over that one step, and
but
it's not really that wide either.
Yeah, so might be able to find a volunteer if Chris let them know exactly what he wants.
Mm. Oh, that sounds good. As long as it meets the specs, as you said.
Yeah, that's right.
Approval for a public building, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Any other committee reports? Okay, on to consent agenda. Oh, sorry. Councilor Zulak.
I just want to remind everybody that the annual information meeting for the Belvedere Heights is on Thursday. This Thursday coming at 3:00, and you can either zoom into it or you can go there in person.
Now, in person is only for members or people on council?
Yeah.
The way I read it, the public has to come in through Zoom. Did I read that incorrectly?
No, that's what they said, and I don't know. They're saying that they can only accommodate so many people, but in the past we always had it. The public could come in, and so it's just the nature of the beast. Everybody wants to do everything by Zoom now. Nobody wants to do anything, but we had to push to get this actually, you know, public can go. So if you show up, they're not going to turn you away.
And you say we, I think it's you, but
yeah.
You know, you should be applauded for all the work you're doing there to get everything out to the public. So
you try.
Yeah.
Try. And just one other thing, I don't know, the township, did you receive one of these community support services brochure?
Not the brochure.
No. So it's just, it has in there all the different things that CSS does for the communities. And, you know, they have a lunch and learn, friendly visiting, and transportation, you know, if people need help, you know, for transportation going somewhere, they will help out with that. Meals on Wheels, Circle of Care. They have a lot of volunteers. People can volunteer if you have the time and you want to help out with them. And there is one thing with the addition of the 22 beds that CSS will be looking for a new home because they'll be taking over that part of it. So the Board of Management is going to work with CSS to try to, don't want to just throw them out. It'll be a process, right? But they're having trouble because Belvedere sort of babied them along and let them have that place. You know, they had to pay for, you know, the staff and different things like that, but they never had to actually pay rent or anything. So now they're trying to reach out to the province to see if they is there's any kind of funding that they can get so to go towards rent. Because it's not something new. If it was something new, they could get the funding, but because it's already something that's existed, they're finding a difficult time to get funding. But we'll work it out somehow, because it's a really good program that they have, and they help a lot of individuals. So I can leave that with you, Carly.
Sure.
If
you
want to.
Councilor Ryan?
There was a Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee last Thursday, if I'm right. I wasn't able to attend, but I mean, I did pass along my regrets and chatted with Jennifer about an hour before that meeting. Basically, in terms of the posters that council had approved at our last meeting and deploying that or a version of that at the transfer station on the bins, on the two recycling bins, I stopped by, I was taking my garbage there. I stopped by and chatted with Andy that same day and asked him some questions. And I think perhaps I misunderstood, but and I didn't misunderstand with Andy very clearly. I mean, the two, I'm not sure if they're compressors or compactors that are for each of those units, are permanently on site. They're actually bolted to the ground and all the rest, and they would stay. The doors on those two units that open up are quite large. I didn't measure that part. the signs that are presently there that provide some kind of guidance, saying paper and you know, other cans and glass and or cans and yeah, cans, glass, and plastics on the other end, obviously, which are very rudimentary in terms of what we need. I came to the conclusion that even the poster that had been designed primarily by Jennifer and others in MLCA really can be done a better job. So rather than get professional signs made up, and I asked her, and I asked her to ask the committee that, you know, could we consider putting up something like a laminate version of the poster as is to see if ratepayers, users, can understand the content? Because quite frankly, when I had it and I had some friends around and showed them and said, like, so tell me what you think this means, and it is, and again, I'm not critical of anybody. I think it's a great effort to do what's been done. Now, I'm not suggesting otherwise. I just think that we could get some experience with users and figure out what works and what doesn't before we came to a, nothing's ever final, but a final version that, that we would get professionally printed. I'll say that. Not that those posters weren't, they were, but I mean, I think it's not, it's less than clear because as I was doing this with a friend on the weekend, particularly about the clear plastics, and asking them, so which one of these plastics, and I had a bunch there, can I put it in the recycling, and which ones can't I? And they really couldn't grasp it, and that's kind of the point. It isn't about whether we understand it, it's about whether our users understand it, because that's the most critical factor. So I don't honestly know what the outcome of that meeting, because I wasn't able to be there, was, but I will follow up with Jennifer on that. And just basically that we could do something for next to no cost. I mean, I know lots of people, I know a half dozen people I can get laminators from, and we could do those up. Those signs that are there, not the door opening, but the signs themselves are 18 by 24. I measured that just to see, and it seems to me that would be a good sign. I did find some places just on the internet, quite frankly, that'll do a sign. Those are bolted through the door opening with two bolts, nuts and bolts that hold them in place. So again, we could take the old ones off, put new ones on, and do that. And then if we like it and it works, then go with it. And if we want to make some amendments, we would. But I wouldn't want to see us spending money without it being, you know, something that we agree is the best product we can get. I also asked Roshan here today when he came in between meetings, just if I could get more details about the invoices that we're getting for particularly recycling-related matters, because I think there's lots of concerns there, and there is on the committee about them just giving us a bill that basically has no, I'm trying to find a polite word, lacks the consistent information that we need. In other words, the original goal of the recycling subcommittee was to bring this to the members of the public and say, here's what we're doing and here's how it'll improve our result and we can reduce our contamination rate and all those kind of things. Based upon what I've seen now for one invoice, there's nothing on that invoice that helps us figure that out, neither now or in the future. So therefore, we can be telling people all these things and we mean it. We hope that we mean it, but we can't deliver because we don't get any data on any of that. And that's appalling, and frankly, for the township, that's paying a fee for dubious information, I'm going to say that anyway, because it very clearly is, and I'm not nearly so polite usually, but I think there's a good chance to do that. So I did ask Roshan if I could get a copy of a couple of the invoices that actually appear on the check run report, and he said, yeah, that's no problem. And I said, I don't want them forever, and I don't want everything, I just want these ones, and we can have a look and see if we can do something. And again, I don't know whether we can have any influence over those invoices in the future, but I'd like to think that people that are billing us have to provide something that is honest, transparent, and accurate, and not just a bunch of figures they make up, and or a consistent figure they make up with no backup at all, right? Surely they must have to tell us what bins they got on what date and what the weights and things like that are, just even basic information, because otherwise there's no incentive for us to improve our recycling abilities, right? And what is recycled and what is not. And there's really no point in me telling you, you can put these ones in, but not those ones, when they all go in there and they all get, you know, contaminated, and that's the end of it anyway. Because that's ultimately what that committee was focusing on. How can we convince people, our users, to do the right thing so that we can reduce, increase our recycling and reduce our costs, right? And if that doesn't do that, then
and
frankly,
that's the problem, because with these signs, for instance, you have to make sure that this is what the company is putting forward,
yeah,
because otherwise the company has to agree to it.
Yeah.
And just an example there, on the weekend, we were told specifically here, and Jennifer was at the meeting, and the big blue plastic bag that you put all your other plastics in, they don't accept those.
Yeah, no.
So I mentioned that to Andy, and he said, no, we just throw those in. He said, we accept them. I said, well, I don't think you do, because
that's not what he told me last week. It isn't. I mean, I asked him that question specifically. So
this is why we have to get it straight.
Yeah.
What exactly, and the people that go on, they're not going to stand there all day reading the sign either, trying to make sense of it. And that was a complicated sign. What's accepted? What is it? And I've just seen people walk by, and I guess they don't want to be educated, I don't know, and just throw in, it's plastic, so it's going in. There was a huge fence that people were shoving in the plastic container rather than in the garbage. So, I don't know. You know, we can try to educate, I guess. And these companies, too, it's a question, I guess, of how many companies actually provide these services, and are they all the same? So are we really, you can try, certainly, to get more detailed information from them. We're trying it with the expression of interest for the metal bin, I think, and we'll see what comes out of that and try to get better information from them. But you're right, it all seems to be one-sided, and they're providing a service, so it makes it difficult when we can't get better detail, I guess, on what we're getting for our service.
But if we really care about the environment, which should be the purpose here, then we should be doing things that benefit the environment, even if it doesn't really benefit our costs or whatever. And, you know, maybe we can't ever get transparent and real data, but, I mean, can we nudge it forward?
Well,
right? So
benefiting the environment, this is a question you have. I mean, unless you, I don't know whether anybody went to Bracebridge, but unless you follow, track what they do with those particular bins and see where they go, if they go into the landfill when they get there... I mean, are you really benefiting the public anyway?
At all.
So
I know, Carly, that you had tried to arrange a visit for us, but, I mean, that just fell on deaf ears?
No, Waste Connections is happy to have us and facilitate a tour. Things happened this spring that we didn't get to go, but it's still very much on the table, so we can revisit that and contact them again and post some dates bring Andy with us as well.
Sure. And committee members would certainly have a keen interest in going too, right? Just to ask questions, if nothing else. So, right?
No, I think it would be good to.
Because I'd like to think that we could make a positive impact on this. Maybe not as much as we'd like, but even if all we do is remove things, the strangest thing of the whole story of the recycling subcommittee, the very strangest thing is to think that by taking things out of my recycling and putting them in the garbage, I'm benefiting us, because at least it's still in there will be recycled, at least we hope, maybe, or maybe it all goes to landfill anyway, I don't know. But I'd like to think that it's not just a total waste of time to devote, you know, time, hours, effort, and people to things that perhaps don't mean anything, right? And I'd like to think it's more than window dressing anyhow, but... And I find it confusing. I took our poster and taped it right by my door, which goes out to my recycling bins, and kept it there, and I look and everything else, and I'm constantly shocked at what appears to be recyclable, and they all have the symbol, but what isn't. So, but I have to do that regularly. This afternoon, before I came, I was taking some stuff out, and I looked, and it was recyclable. I didn't think it was, but go figure, at least from the number on the bottom, assuming that's true. But
so you almost need government pressure on suppliers.
Yeah.
To not be putting out containers that people might conceive as being recyclable. Make it a very distinctive difference, and people will start buying the recyclable containers. I think that's...
in my opinion, at a minimum, it should be illegal to put a recycling symbol on something that they know is not recyclable.
Right?
And
so
if they don't know, well, then they should be fine because they don't know.
So it needs more, I guess, provincial input on it.
Yeah. But I think it all starts somewhere. It starts by somebody trying to make an effort saying, can we make this better? Are we ever going to have it perfect? Of course not. But can we make it better? I'd like to think we can. So.
Well, it almost sounds like you'll have to track what you throw in there and see where it goes and whether it's contaminated.
Put little stickers on with my name. Yeah, so I don't think that would ever work. But anyway, sorry for droning on. I mean, that was so... I mean, there's some good news, but there's also some... frustrating news, anyhow, on that front. So,
I just have one more thing I forgot to mention.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention that the library's grand reopening is the 29th of June from 10 till 2.
A lot happening that day.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, they picked that day because the market will be open then, and so people, you know, if they go to the market, maybe people come down here, or if they park here.
You got signs we could put up at the market to remind people of that?
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure. They're
Morley's got sandwich boards.
Well, they've handed out brochures and all kind of, and left them at, you know, like Middle River Farms and Olson's and the Ridge,
but,
and they put them all over the place. I think they have them at the
store. Well, they used to have a booth at the market, the library.
Didn't, yeah.
Do they still?
I
That'd be the ideal place
yeah.
to advertise.
I don't know. I'll find out.
I don't know either. But some signs wouldn't hurt anyway, as
yeah.
well as people mentioning it, right? But
yeah.
By the way, when you're finished here, go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Might even be parked here. I
that's
don't know.
Right.
So.
That's what they were hoping for.
Yeah.
Parked here. But I have a library meeting, and I still haven't forgotten your request, Mike, about to get from the library about the criteria.
Okay,
so
yeah,
I have a meeting
good.
On Monday.
Thank you.
And I'll find out if they have signs and stuff.
That's it. Okay, consent agenda. Resolution 24-383, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Hassman, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. And you have to pull from that long list. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from the audience, either in person or on Zoom?
Everybody's left to watch a hockey game.
Resolution 24-384, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-55, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council this 18th day of June 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? Resolution 24-385, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland, be resolved the Council of the Corporation Township of Color adjourn this meeting at
8:40 p.m.
to meet again on June 25th, 2024 for a special closed meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.